This sounds like quite a commandment, to lay down your life. Well, in some parts of the world today, it's illegal to preach Jesus' word. In some parts of the world today, it is putting your life on the line to be a Christian. In some parts of the world today, it's dangerous to talk about Jesus. But in other parts of the world, like this wonderful country we live in, it seems rather unnecessary challenge that we are asked to lay down our lives. But that kind of depends on how you look at it. We are asked to lay down our lives all the time. As we grow and get older and take on new responsibilities, as children, we're asked to give up our lives as children and become students, go off to school, deal with other adults, have to accept responsibility of other adults, learn how to study and how to be disciplined and how to do all those things that we ask of children in school. And as those children in school grow and get older and move along in the process, eventually they graduate, and we call that commencement, because while they are graduating from school, high school, college, they are starting a new life. A new life as more independent people, as more responsible people, as people who are separated from their families. And as those young adults become older and increase in responsibility, many of them marry, and they take on the responsibilities of being a spouse. And they are no longer able to live the life of a single person, now they live the life of a married person. At each stage, we give up our life so that we can have a new life. We can't have the new life without giving up the old life. We can't move on to the next stage without giving up those things that we may have valued in the old one. We have to grow up. We have to move on. We have to change. We have to mature. We have to take on new life and new responsibilities. And then as we get older, we have children, we become parents. New responsibilities there. Not only are we no longer a single person, but now we have children to be responsible for, and then they grow up, and then we become grandparents, and then we get older still, and our grandchildren grow up around us if we get to live that long and watch them do that, and then at some point we have to pass from this world to the next. And at each point we are asked to give up our life so that we will have a new life. Some places in the world, we might be asked to give up our life, to speak the name of Jesus, to speak the words of the Bible, to be Christians. But in this country, we have more freedom than that. And so we're not asked to die for what we believe in, but we're asked to live for what we believe in. And at each stage in our life, as we grow and change, the new life that we take on, student, graduate, parent, grandparent, the new life is better when we have God in our lives. Do you remember when you came to believe? Do you remember when God came into your life? Do you remember when you ceased being someone who knew about God and became someone who knew God? That moment of transition from knowing to believing, from having heard the Word to beginning to live the Word. See, when we become people of God, when we become Christians, when we become believers, we stop just being people who think about, hear about, talk about God, and we start being people who try and live that teaching, live that word, live that promise, live as though we were already with Him in His kingdom. Do we live the life? or are we still just talking about it? Do we see the need and hear the call, or do we just think that we should do better, that we should give more, that we should reach out, that we should say something, that we should? We all miss opportunities. We all miss times when we could touch people, when we could help people, when we could reach out to people, when we could do better for others. But we all feel that because we have Him in our hearts. See, people who don't believe don't see any point in reaching out to other people. They don't see why it should matter. They don't understand that it does make a difference when you help people, not just to the people you help, but to the helper. It's a wonderful thing to see someone's life changed when you do something in His name and He acts in their life. I've had that happen in my life, and I've seen that happen in other people's lives. And it's an amazing thing. Do they become perfect? Far from it. But they become different. They give up the old life in order to take up the new life. Each of us is called to give up our old life over and over and over again. So why should it be so hard for us to understand that we have to give up our old life in order to take up the new life in Christ? He lives in us. He becomes part of us. We become part of Him. We become part of His kingdom. We become part of His family. We become part of the church. Not just because our name is on a piece of paper in this world, but because our name is on the rolls in heaven. Because we are part of that kingdom. We are part of His family. We are part of His life, and our lives are given up, given over, passed up to Him so that He can give us a new life, a better life, a different life. We don't have to wait, as the song says, until the last moments of our days on earth to get a new life. No. Every time we let Him into our lives and let Him show us what to do, we give up our old life, our old ways, our old person, and become a new person. One who cares, one who tries, one who wants to do and be and live better. It's a process. It's a process that changes us. It's a process that makes the world a different place. Because once you've given up your old life and taken up the new, a life in Christ, you see the world from a different point of view. You see other people from a different point of view. You see them as children of God. You see them as opportunities for service. Somebody told me once, if you've seen the need, you've heard the call. What needs do you see around you? What calls are you being asked to serve, to fulfill, to answer? What life are we going to live? A life of self, a life of selfishness, a life of self-centeredness, a life of ignoring His words, His call, His love, by ignoring other people and their needs? Or are we going to try and reach out? Mike made a wonderful point. We used to say in the ambulance service, dead paramedics don't save anybody. If you step out in front of a truck while you're on a call, who are you going to help? Nobody. We're going to have to send another ambulance for you and another one for the people you're supposed to be taking care of. That ain't no help. Working ourselves to the bone for people who aren't changing, aren't changed by what we do isn't helping. Dying to help somebody who doesn't need it, see it, benefit from it isn't helping. Helping means taking care of ourselves first so that we can be healthy. And then through our healthy relationship with God, through our healthy relationship with Christ, through our healthy understanding of His call and His word and His love, we can reach out at a moment when we can change people. We can hear that voice say, now, tell them now, go there now, reach out now. This is the moment in which somebody can be transformed. A few years ago, I got the wonderful opportunity to go on a mission trip to El Salvador. And I had the grand plans that I was going to get all the people who had gone to Mexico with the group that I'd gone to Mexico with to go with me, because I knew all those people. They all wanted to go on mission trips. They were all wonderful people. God had other plans. None of the people that went with me to Mexico went with me to El Salvador when I called them. I very quickly had to turn my idea of what was going to happen on this mission trip back over to God and listen for the people that He was sending me, for the people that He wanted to go, for the people that He wanted to help, for the people He wanted to use in this capacity. And while we were there, I watched two young men change. It was a graduation of another sort. There was no mortarboard. There was no speech. There was no cheering by families and parents. But there was a change of heart from selfish and self-centered and just normal, everyday, you know, teenagers, young adults, living their life, having a good time, exploring the world, to people who had a heart for helping people in His name, in His kingdom, who wanted to live His life in His world, not just their own. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And so I ask you on this Sunday morning, when you bend your knee, when you taste the bread and wine that is for us His body and blood, ask yourselves, how can I better serve Him? Do I need to take better care of myself, or do I need to take better care of other people? Or plan C, all of the above. What calls have I not heard? What forgiveness have I not offered? What love have I missed out giving, sharing, accepting? Where are the people who will help me? Where are the jobs that we need to do? What is the purpose of this church, of my life, of all of us in His world, not just in ours? How can we be for the world the body of Christ? How can we be the body of Christ for the world? How can we serve the world as His hands? How can we serve the world as His heart? How can we serve the world with His word? We serve communion. It makes us servants of the community. What would He have you do? Only you can answer that. I can't tell you what to do. God tells you what to do. He speaks to you in your heart. He speaks to you from other people. He speaks to you in opportunities. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Don, will you join me in servant communion this morning?